I invite you to turn to Ephesians in chapter number 6. Ephesians in chapter number 6. Of course, we've been on Wednesday nights for the last several weeks looking to prepare ourselves for our revival, prayer revival coming up with Brother Beckham. I pray you've taken time to read the books that he's given us, and you'll be ready for the revival when it gets here. And if we'll take some personal time of examination before a meeting, I'm telling you, it'll make the meeting better. It'll make us better prepared to receive the Word of God. And I can't tell you enough how much of a emphasis we should be putting on prayer, and I pray that we are, and we want to put more of an emphasis on prayer. This Sunday morning at 8:30, we're going to be starting an hour of prayer before service down in the new conference room, and so just invite you, if you can, you want to come and sit there and pray for the hour, if you can, but for sure, when you get here to minister, would you come down and pray first? And there might be people in there praying silently, and there might be people in there praying audibly, and that's fine. But we just want to spend time in prayer. And it's not like I'm not trying to force anybody to do it. I'm just saying we need it. And some of the greatest things this world have ever seen have come and have started because men and women stopped to pray. And so I just ask that we would do the same. I want you to turn to Ephesians 6. I'm going to read several verses here, I want to focus on really one verse tonight. But begin with me in verse number 10. It says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now look at verse number 18. Verse number 18. Praying always, say that with me, praying always, always, with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is a petition, it is a prayer, it's a supplication is a request. It's a request that's been made. So you're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So there is a call to prayer here, and we've already prayed, so we'll get into the message. Paul had been equipping, if you will, the believers there in the city of Ephesus with the armor that they needed, the armor of God. And he gave them two specific reasons why they needed this armor. He says in verse number 11 that he wants us to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And wiles are simply tricks. They're things that tactical tricks that someone might use to lure their enemy in, to make their enemy feel at ease, and all the time there's great danger that is around them. But there's these wiles that the devil will try to use. I heard one preacher one time, he likened the wiles to a bullfighter, and the bullfighter holds that, you know, the red cloth and says "Toro, Toro," you know, and the bull runs by. Everybody cheers, and he holds it out again, and he says "Toro, Toro," and the bull runs by, and they go through that, and a whole crowd, stadium cheers as the bull's running by, and underneath the red tarp the whole time is a sword that he's getting ready to stab the bull with, and the bull's just going back and forth, but he's just taunting the bull the whole time. And I heard one preacher one time, he likened the wiles of the devil, this taunt that we have, this trickery that's there, and the whole time there's a death behind the trickery, and so the Lord's given us this armor that we might be able to withstand those wiles, that they wouldn't have an effect on us. But He's also in verse number 13, He says that wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. There is a purpose to us having the armor of God and putting on the armor of God. And we get the idea and we get the sense that Paul was trying to help these believers in Ephesus realize that there was a battle that was raging. There's a war that's on. It's not time to be at ease at home. There's a battle that's going on, and you want to be prepared for battle. If there's a battle that's taking place, it's a battle you want to be ready for. It's a battle that you're not going to want to go into unarmed. It's a battle that you're going to want to go into with great preparation. And you're going to want to put on the armor of Almighty God if you're going to fight this battle. And if you're not going to put on the armor of God, you're not going to withstand in the evil day. You will be overcome by the trickery or the wiles of the devil. They will overtake you. And Paul is trying to equip them, if you will, with the armor of God. The armor is to help equip them to have the ability to stand. And without the armor, we'd understand this. The ability to stand is null and void. It's non-existent. So one must put on this armor. And then after one puts on this armor, verse number 18 gives us a great instruction. In verse number 18, it says this, right after the armor's been given, he said this, pray always with all prayer and supplication. So this is the idea, if you will, that you need to get ready for battle. There's a battle coming. If there's a lack of preparation, you're going to be overcome. You're going to be taken in defeat. So you better make some preparation. You better put on your armor. And while you put on your armor, guess what? You're not the one that's going to be doing the fighting. You're going to prepare. You're going to be ready to fight. You're going to have everything that you possibly could need to fight against the devil, to overcome the tricks of the devil, to be able to, at the end of the war, you're going to still be standing if you'll put on the armor of God, but you're not the one doing the fighting. You're not the one that's going to go out and fight the battle. No. Your job is that you're going to humble yourself before the one who is going to fight. Praying always. You're going to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And listen to me, the devil is much more capable of you, and there's been greater men than me that have been prey of the devil and have given into the world the flesh of the devil. Listen, there's greater Christians than you that have fallen prey, who everybody would have stopped and said, man, I thought they were ready, but understand with me, I'm not going to go out and defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil. No, I'm telling you, I'll be overcome by the world, the flesh, and the devil. I can prepare and I can get everything ready. But at the end of the day, you know what? I'm going to have to be calling upon God, who's the only one that can defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil. No, I'm going to have to get on my face before God, and I'm going to have to talk to God, and I'm going to have to make request and supplication and petition to Him. I'm going to have to pray always. I'm going to have to be continually in prayer. In prayer, we are desiring God's will to be done here on earth. That's what we're desiring, or what we true prayer would desire, is that the will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And many people think got prayer mixed up. They're trying to get God their will done on earth, and they want God to get it done for them instead of God's will being done. Prayer, if you will, my friend, is the energy source or the power of the armor of God. Your armor is worthless if you do not have the power of God. Having the truth is wonderful. All right? But God taking that truth, and certainly I'd hope that in this room, you've shared truth with some people. I mean, you've spoken the truth. You might have spoken a verse of Scripture. You say, you know what, the Bible says this, or this would be a biblical principle, or this is what the Bible teaches. But understand with me, that doesn't go very far without the power of God behind it. Yes. Your salvation, listen to me, it's not based on you. Put on the helmet of salvation. It's not based on you. No, listen. It's based upon the one in whom gave it to you. It's centered in Christ, and your righteousness. You get put on the breastplate of righteousness, but listen, it's not your righteousness. It's His righteousness. So I want us to get this, that we're preparing for battle. We've got everything we need for battle, but at the same time, He's fighting the battle for us. He's engaging in battle for us. We are to humble ourselves before Him and pray. It's not our power and abilities, our talents, but we can see God's supernatural hand at move when we get on our face before Him and pray. Satan's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of me. This world is not afraid of you. Guess what? Your flesh is not afraid of you, or it would just die easily. But understand with me, it all is subject unto God. It's all subject unto God. The world, the flesh, and the devil know that it has no power over Him. So Paul is instructing us to, if you will, be at the ready in our prayer life. To continually be at the ready in our prayer life. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And we understand that our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. And we are to be praying in the Spirit. We are to be in constant communication with the Lord. At any moment, they can attack and come. As I thought about this a little bit and about this praying always, we understand this. It does not mean, and it should be very easy for us to understand, what Paul's saying is that you go in your prayer closet, never come out, never stop to eat, drink, or anything. You just keep on praying until you die from praying. That's not what Paul's calling or telling, or even by his own example, communicating to people. But that there should be a readiness to communicate. That there is to be a guarding, if you will. It always means to be perpetually or always means throughout all times, continually, without variation. And you and I are to be in constant contact or communication with the Lord. There's not a point in time where we are not having an ability to communicate with our Heavenly Father. I got looking at this. I was just thinking about, you know, guards of the king and you know, that kind of idea that we're to be on guard and we'll be in watchfulness. And I thought about the sentries. They're called a sentry. That stands guard at Buckingham Palace and wherever the Queen is, and those guards. I just read about that a little bit in preparation. Those guards will stand on duty for 2 hours, and they have to stand straight. They have to stand still and not move for 10 minutes at a time, and so they just stand there, no smirks, no smiles, no nothing, just serious, on guard. I mean, they got loaded weapons. They are given orders to shoot to kill if they have to. And no one is going to make it past their post without taking their life first. And that's their duty. That's what they've been called to do. It's the 2-hour duty. It's made clear that they're not to eat, sleep, smoke, stand easy, sit, or lie during your tour of duty for 2 hours. And they'll stand perfectly still in their beaver skin hat and their heavy weapon and their nice, cool clothing. No, I'm telling you, there'd be days when it's miserable to wear the outfits. You can imagine the heat that would be involved in wearing those wool uniforms on a hot summer day. And then in the winter when it's raining in England, that beaver skin hat has to feel enormous after a 2-hour tour of duty in the rain. I'm telling you, would not be probably a fun experience, but they'll stand at attention for 10 minutes, and then they can walk back and forth no more than 5 times. And then they have to stand still for another 10 minutes. not flinch, not move, and they can be docked up to. I read that they can they're being watched. If they're seen to move during that 10 minutes of time, or if they take too many passes, if they go past five because they don't want to stand still for that amount of time, they can be docked up to weeks of pay at a time based upon their conduct as they are standing at attention at their post, and they are not to to move. It was interesting, up until just 2014, and you've seen probably the videos where people come by and they'll try to make these guards smile and lose a week's pay. How rotten do you have to be to try to make a guy lose money? But if they can get him to smile. And there was a tourist that went so far as he was, you know, marching in step with the soldier and mocking the soldier, and a crowd of people coming around, and even got to a point where he almost got himself shot. He grabbed the shoulder of the sentry where his gun was, and he almost died from it. Ever since then, now they put up some kind of a rope barricade that you can't get very close to them, but you used to be able to walk right up to them and stand by them and get a picture. I got one, by the way. I'm trying to say this: they take their job very seriously. It's not a joke. They're not out there as just decoration. They're out there with great discipline. They're out there with great purpose. They're out there taking what they're doing very seriously. And I'm telling you, what takes place is the rest of the world comes by and thinks, "Oh, this is that's kind of cool. I'd like to get a photo so I can remember this statue standing in front of me. This is kind of a neat nostalgia." It's been going on since the 1600s. It's more than just nostalgia. There's a purpose behind what they're doing. They're serious about it. And why some people mock, and why some people think it's cool, and why some people just think it's funny, and why some people just think, "Oh, it's just this big show." I'm telling you, every one of those guards has a sworn duty that they're going to protect the queen by giving their own life if need be. I mean, it's serious business for them. And I'm trying to use that to help us understand that what we've been called to do is understand we've got all the armor put on. We've got the whole outfit put together. And we're not there just to shoot everybody that comes by and to beat everybody with our sword that comes by. But we're at the ready to be able to fulfill the Lord's work when we're called upon to do it. That's why we've been standing there. And you say, "Well, how do we accomplish this?" Well, we pray always. I mean, we're there. We're always praying. Well, what are we praying for? I'm glad you asked. Look at this. "Watching thereunto with all perseverance and with all supplication." Look at this. "For all saints." For all saints. You want to justify a Wednesday night prayer meeting where a lot of people say, "Oh, it's just old, and that's something of yesteryear. That's what churches used to do. We're the cool crowd now." Understand, I don't know what the needs of the saints are unless the saints tell me what they are. Amen, preacher. I mean, there's a purpose to gathering together on Wednesday night and say, "Listen, my car is broken down. Would you pray for me? I'm having surgery. Would you pray for me? I'm going on a trip. Would you pray for me? I'm witnessing to my mother and my father. Would you pray for me? I'm doing this activity or that activity. God's called me here. God's called me there. I need the prayers of the saints." And as a child of God, we've been given a uniform that we are to wear. We've been given a duty that we are called to. And we are standing at the ready. And we are standing at guard. One commentator I read said this: we pray. Prayer fights the enemies, but watching cites the enemy. I'm telling you what, it's good to be able to see, I would assume, an enemy before it hits. A surprise attack is not what every soldier is sitting there going, "Man, I hope we get somebody jumping us today." You know what would be cool is if we just had complete surprise and they came out guns a-blazing and we had no prior warning. I'm telling you, there is a soldier, at least in his right mind, that would wish for that day. No. This is what they'd want to know. "Listen, we're watching. And we're praying, we're ready to report to the king, the enemy is coming." Amen. I've been, listen, I'm in constant communication. No one is going to take us by surprise because we have been watching. We are praying. We have a direct line with the king. I read this. Let me try to find this. Let me just read this paragraph. Centuries receive instructions on how to eliminate nuisances or any suggestions of threat from members of the public. There's a protocol that they follow, which begins with stamping, coming to attention sharply. So whatever they're doing, if there's a nuisance around them or something that's out of line, they to try to get everybody's attention. And they'll come to attention, and they'll make a loud noise to try to get that attention to shake somebody up to make them realize what they're doing is wrong. He will also shout, "Stand back from the queen's guard," or similar. If this does not eliminate the nuisance or threat, he will repeat the stamp and shout again. If the nuisance or threat still does not cease, the sentry will assume the position of post arms. That's not a good position with somebody with a gun. Okay, that means it's pointed at you. Whereby he points his rifle at the source of the interference with his duties. If these warnings are not heeded, the sentry has the choice of detaining the person himself or pressing the button in his sentry box to summon assistance. You realize that we could fight it for ourselves and by ourselves, but when we have nuisances, come on. When there's a nuisance in my life, in your life, some of you aren't enjoying this. I am enjoying this. When there's a nuisance in my life, guess what? I'm ready to fight. I've got all the weaponry. I've got the right uniform. I've got the right authority. I've got the power. I've got the ability. But understand with me, anytime there's a threat that is not been taken care of, anytime I feel like I'm in danger, the queen is in danger, the post is in danger, all I have to do is say, "Lord, I've been watching. There's a nuisance. There's a trouble. There's something in the way." And I'm telling you, He's always there. He's always there. Watching. Sleepless. Kept awake to watch. The Lord is instructing us, and through Paul, that you and I, as the children of God, while we are to be ready for battle, while we're having the proper uniform on, we're to always be in prayer and to always be watching for the saints around us. The danger is that someday and sometime men cease to watch. That would be the danger of a guarded position. It is that someone falls asleep. That someone doesn't do their job. That someone, instead of doing their job, they walk off the job because they got sidetracked or distracted by something. That they found themselves enthralled with something else and they no longer are doing the job of guarding. And you say, "Well, I've guarded for a while. I think somebody else should take a post." We don't necessarily get that convenience as a child of God. He doesn't say, "Listen, 2 hours, stand at attention for 10 minutes, walk back and forth 5 times, no more, stand at attention for another 10 minutes. It's not the instruction we've been given. No. We're always to pray. We're always to be watching. You became a child of God, whether you knew it or not, whether you desired this or not, when you signed up in the army of the Lord. You became a guard that is always to be praying and always to be watching. And I'm telling you, it is your time to stand guard. I know some great people have gone on to heaven. They're with the Lord now. Guess what? Their time at post is over. They're no longer standing guard. No, they get to go and have the cushy job now with the Lord. They've been retired. But if you're still here, guess what? You're still on guard duty. It's still your obligation. I remember when I was in college, of course, my parents living close to Oklahoma City. I stayed home for Christmas breaks, and they always were looking for more guards to guard the campus. And so there was one particular time, one night where the guard, the whole campus had been closed for like a whole week. Nobody had gone on or off the campus except for the guys that were guarding the campus. Nobody had gone in the buildings for a couple weeks because everybody's on Christmas vacation and enjoying their vacation. And I remember one evening I was sitting in the guard shack, and a police car pulled up, and I came out of the guard shack, said, "What's going on?" They said, "We got a 911 call from this facility." Well, I'm the only one here. And they said, "Well, who else has been on?" I showed them the logbook. Nobody else had, other than the guards, nobody else had signed in and out. And they said, "Well, it must have been a false alarm or something." And so they left, and I had to go on rounds once an hour. You had to drive around the campus with a little light on the top of your 15-passenger van because you look very intimidating to criminals driving around with a little light in a 15-passenger van. And so anyway, so we're driving around, and I had a big, one of those big mag lights so I could beat somebody to death if they ever tried to come on the campus. I was very intimidating as a police officer, as a security officer. Anyway, I remember going around that within that next hour, did my rounds, came back. The police car was still, it was now sitting there again, and they were at the fence, like, "We are coming on campus." I'm like, "Okay, come on campus." And they said, "We're going to go check out this." They pinpointed the building that the call came from. It was the administration building on campus. And there were nights, okay, I'm just telling you, there were nights where I didn't see another soul on guard duty. There are nights where I was like so bored that I mean it's just like, man, if the Lord just came now, I think I'd be so tired. I don't know if I'd hear the come up hither, I mean it. And I was working all day and then doing that at night, trying to make extra money to pay for my tuition. But I'm just saying, that night when their activity, I'm telling you what, I mean, they were like, "Listen, we're going into the administration building and we're going to check out the whole entire building." And so I was like, "Listen, here's the code to the security box. I ain't going in there with you. Nobody's been in that building for 2 weeks. If there's someone in there, I don't want to know who it is." I had no trouble, listen, staying awake on that night because there was activity, there were things going on. I didn't. But that was like, I guess about 3 weeks in a row for 3 years, so 9 weeks that I did guard duty. That was the only night in 9 weeks of guard duty that's my guard duty experience. One night in 9 weeks of an hour's period was the only like anything out of the ordinary activity I had in the entire time. And what I'm saying is that if we're not careful, this pray always and watch always. I mean, just to be on guard, be ready. Know what the needs of those saints are around you. Be watching out for those saints who are around you. Be looking on the horizon. Be watching. I'm telling you, because it's not every day that we have a tragedy. For most people, some people like the drama, but most of us don't have a tragedy every day of the week. And most of us aren't looking death in the face every day of the week. And most of us, just our life is pretty normal most of the days of our lives. You say, "Well, how do you prepare for the tragedy that's coming? How do you get ready? How do you get ready for that trauma that's going to happen?" Well, you have to stay on guard through all the boring times of life. Come on, you have to be ready when it's boring, and you have to be ready when it's exciting. And you have to be ready when it's inconvenient, and you got to be ready when you're so glad you were ready that you didn't get taken by surprise. Because we have a Heavenly Father in heaven, listen to me, my friend, that is ready and willing and desiring for us at any point in time when tragedy arises or when some nuisance comes around, something is bothering us and something is keeping us from being able to do our job of guarding. that all we have to do is say, Heavenly Father, and I'm telling you, we have all the power of Almighty God behind us and ready to fight with us at any moment in time. Amen. But we're always going to have to be ready. Always praying. Always watching. And listen to me, friend. It's your time to do that. It's your time to always pray. It's my time to always watch. It's not somebody else's. It's not my turn this week and your turn next week. No. It's your turn every day of the week. It's my turn every day of the week, where you always pray. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.